Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 23rd, 122nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Commissioner from the Humboldt Bay Recreation Conservation.
You never get it right.
Okay, wait a minute. Harbor Recreation Conservation District?
That's correct.
Well,
second try.
Okay, fine, fair enough. Mike Wilson's alongside. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Yeah.
This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about a project and a major consideration that the Harbor District is entertaining. Ooh, we'll just leave it as a tease like that, and we'll be back.
All right.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Wilson. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see. Zen. It's a Zen aphorism.
You need more Zen in your life.
You know, I've got three books that I read periodically, but yeah, I do need to figure out some way to slow the engines down a little bit. Quote, when you reach the top, keep climbing.
All right.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Sure.
I like that one. Liked it so much we did it 6 years ago. It's a repeat. Something more to consider. So what were we doing? Oh, one of those warm Fridays a couple weeks ago, we went out just kind of tooling around and ended up out by the Samoa Cookhouse.
You're on a boat or just driving?
No, in the truck, just kind of putzing around. Took a left and got to the place where the old employee parking lots were.
Okay.
That are gated and overgrown. And, you know, I did my immediate visceral response, not to repeat it on air. And then
opportunity. It's just opportunity.
I saw the sign and it said Harbor District. I went, okay. So in considering what the future plans look like from your guys' perspective, what are we going to see? Let's say a 10-year. Pull up 10 years. Lane and Danny have got their stuff humming over there. You guys have got your stuff. Here comes a tourist looking for the cookhouse.
Right.
And you get right to that point where you take a right and cross the tracks to go up into the parking lot. What do they see?
From that place right there?
Right now it's overgrown. You see a little bit of asphalt and that's about it. And it looks like the ghetto.
I guess. I mean, I look at it, I see opportunity, but sure. Most of that property is not ours. So, I mean, that parking area that you're talking about or the old log deck or actually where they had the cut timber. And actually the mill, most of that is owned by Samoa Pacific Group there. They're doing their development, and part of it happens to be having to do with the Samoa Cookhouse. And then down below that is the Timber Heritage. That is our property. They lease that property from us in exchange for basically maintaining the place and doing work on it to help build their site. So in exchange for some planning monies to us with regards to helping them really see their vision of a timber heritage museum and railroad facility there. So they're all excited about that and they're working on it. It's got a long ways to go. The site has definitely some interesting environmental issues that are significant and have to be addressed. They're doing their best to kind of keep that going. And there's the dock that's right there. That's berth one, we call that. Berth two is down by the old pulp mill. The first one that you come to as you're going south. I think Berth 1 is probably, if you're talking the next 10 years, will probably be used more, hopefully to service the fishing fleet in terms of being able to pull pots off of there and have storage and potentially...
The cranes and the arms and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, but I think it'd probably be more mobile than that. The equipment would probably have wheels as opposed to having the cranes and providing space for that. Our more industrial... focus has a lot to do with the pulp mill site down south of there, and so we, you know, as many people know, acquired that property in August, basically for $0, because of the challenges that it has on site, and by September we were basically in a program through the EPA to start cleanup. And that is going gangbusters now in terms of there was a really big mess left there, mostly from Evergreen Pulp, the outfit from China that was here and left town and basically overnight. And when they left about 4 million gallons of pulping liquors on site, which is a very, very caustic.
Nasty.
It's nasty. It's a pH of 14. You know, you don't want to touch it. You burn a hole right through you. And it... and 4 million gallons in the tanks were beginning to leak, beginning to overflow because of rainwater, because the tops of them had rotted out or had rusted away. And so it was declared an emergency site by the EPA, and they're, as part of this CERCLA Superfund legislation, they came in and, I guess, secured the site and began cleanup. And so we're writing. So yeah.
Does the Harbor District then might get the bill for that, or because it was kind of a more immediate bubbling, oh my gosh, kind of a moment, do the feds pay for it all?
For most of it, the feds are going to pay for that. They're going to look for if they can find. Responsible parties, but they aren't holding the district responsible. We are on the hook for about $1.25 million, more or less, for that. And our plan right now is the sale and or scrap of the recovery boiler on site to basically pay for that. And that's basically our collateral for that. And that's the plan so far.
Is that fair market value for the boiler?
I think we can get some more than that, and that's our goal, is to get more for the boiler than that. So
there's that kind of market.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's either there are several directions it could go. It could be they're parted out, and it's got a lot of equipment that folks could use in other industrial applications. And then also there are some domestic and foreign interests in actually repurposing to rebuild that boiler, tear it down, and rebuild it someplace else.
KINS News and Information Times 3:19.
The sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Wilson. Mike, the concept of cleaning up a site,
yeah,
has got to be challenging. At one side of the ledger,
mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do what we can do and clean up what we can.
Right.
And the other side, particularly, and this is more of a, I guess, a me thing, you had mentioned where some of the previous development had been, and mm-hmm. that the soils are not where they ought to be.
In some parts of it, that's true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's asphalted over,
mm-hmm.
okay, nothing more is going to be added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And with some kind of a barrier like that, doesn't that stop the potential of unforeseen adding to it also, and at least limits the damage?
Oh, sure.
Rather than somebody, you know, now let's take the Harbor District, and let's say things weren't as financially strong.
Right.
Or Mike Wilson, Inc.
Okay.
Who's not quite as strong as the Harbor District.
Right.
Okay, you got a good idea, something that makes sense, would be beneficial for the community,
mm-hmm.
but now you're looking at a cleanup of millions?
Yeah, oh yeah, millions. Sure,
and
sure.
You just can't play. It would seem, and I don't know, you know, how close you guys have gotten to the EPA since they're paying for it all. You probably don't want to contaminate the swimming pool.
Right. You don't want to upset them too much. You know, but they're providing a great service. They have been here and really on top of it.
Regular private guy get a shot at some of that stuff, or have we just been King's X'd out?
Well, I mean, that's really what the district is trying to do, is to create the space, much like a business park, so that the goal is to get the contamination out of the site as quickly as possible. And we have the surf, you know, the above ground stuff, which is mostly in the tanks, and then there's the stuff that's on the ground. And the EPA has committed themselves to, you know, work to get that done. And then there's this subsurface stuff, the stuff below the ground, and Louisiana Pacific is committed to do that part because that's their interest in the site, and they were there the longest, and they've been great partners in working with us on that, and so we see an endpoint for that. So it's possible, and you're correct. You know, for the privates, this would be a very difficult thing to do, and that's one of the reasons why the district thought, well, as a community-based organization, we have the ability to leverage these funds from the outside that the privates may not be able to. And some people have philosophical issues with that, and I'm not going to here to belabor that, but really the we saw that as an opportunity. But more than that, you know, the action of taking control of that site, we deemed to be less costly than inaction, because not doing something there could have led to, and was highly likely to have led to a catastrophic event, which would have cost us all a whole lot more.
Eventually down the road, something nasty.
And it wouldn't have been very long, right? And it would have damaged the reputation of the cleanliness of the bay, which would have damaged the reputation of the oyster industry. And that's not just the reputation, but the actual real impact. And those kinds of caustic chemicals, when they interact and mix with other things, can cause really catastrophic health hazards. So
when the North Spit in those areas that the Harbor District is involved with, I guess would be the simple, easy, all-encompassing, when we hear about the development that the Arklees are doing, we hear zero detect.
Okay.
Is that the standard that you guys are going to have to hit also, or is there
something
different, and then how come there is a difference?
Well, I can't speak to
I'm just thinking, because both are properties adjacent to the bay.
Oh, right, right.
Okay, well, it would seem like
I can't speak to the levels of cleanup to anyone else's site that I don't know about that much, and I don't know about that one.
Okay.
But I can speak to the one that we're working with, and that has more to do with the use. And sort of that the hazards related to use. That's one of the issues. And so this is an industrial site, and it's not, you know, not going to change from being a predominantly industrial site. And so the uses within that space all fit that, and the protections and all those things have to go through the Department of Toxic Substances. It has to go through the Water Quality Control Board.
There's a Department of Toxic Substances?
DTSC.
Really?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Who's federal, state?
State.
Okay, I guess that shouldn't come as a surprise, but
well,
it comes as a surprise.
Well, they work really hand in hand with the Water Quality Control Board, and because they're really about the substances, and the Water Quality Control Board is about the water, and so the site has to be okay with them with regards to those types of uses. Fortunately for us, you know, most of the chemical activities happened on really one part of the site where you see the boiler and all that other stuff, and then less so on the bay side. So that's where they really had the storage, the big warehouses and the dock and all that stuff really didn't have a lot of that use.
If it had been inverted.
Oh, we probably have a bigger problem for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And so there's been already a lot of investigation on site, and so we really feel confident that of moving forward.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
Introducing Tapas and Tinis in the Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino. Spring is here, so on your way home from the beach, come check out the sunset. Restaurant doors will be opening an hour earlier, offering a small plate, tapas, menu available at a discounted price from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Signature martinis will be reduced to $7, and happy hour also applies with dollar-off drafts and wells. Also, make sure to check out the new spring menu for an amazing dinner, available starting at 5 p.m. daily. The Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino, just off the 101 in Trinidad.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Wilson from the Harbor District. Mike, the concept of the development site. Now, we've heard that there's some folks out of the area that want to do some, I guess, on-land oyster or on-land...
Already signed a lease.
Great. The hydroponics and all that kind of stuff.
They've signed a lease as well.
Is the site ready for them?
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of the site that are ready enough. And they've already gotten their coastal development permit, and really it was about getting the utilities in there, and we've got the utilities where they want it, and so they're going to begin pretty soon. As a matter of fact, the rafts that they were bringing in, which is the rafts they use for some of the oyster culture, those are already on site and already hooked up, and they'll be operating really soon. And so they're renting about 7,000 square feet of the warehouse space. And we have another shellfish company also interested in coming in now. So that's happening. We have interest from an ethanol producer on site.
Is that still viable?
Yeah, with wood waste. Yeah.
Okay, because I hear the stuff, you know, with the corn in the Midwest, and it's... I'd feed three countries for what they're, you know.
Right. Well, no one's eating wood waste.
So. Yeah, well, I know a couple of termites pretty closely that seem to enjoy it.
and there's also some folks interested in doing a pellet export as well. We just did a right to negotiate agreement with them on that at our last meeting, or maybe it was the meeting before, I can't remember now, but anyways, so there's a lot of interest in that. They've got their engineers coming in, and if that's successful, either one of those, you know, will produce traffic for the harbor and will take up a significant amount of space, and we'll be able to lease those. So we're really operating.
So those are barge based businesses rather than the train?
They'd be water based for sure. Yeah. One would be barge, ethanol would be probably barging, and then the pellets would be on ships, large ships. Those are the interests that are coming in now, but we're really focusing on redeveloping the site. On that location, it's the only place on the peninsula that has the industrial energy hookups, both for gas and electricity. And so we still have the substation in there. It's the only place that has those big lines you see going across out there that services that site for the most part. We have the gas, we have the water. Everyone's been talking about 30 million gallons a day, and we also have the ocean outfall too, because disposal
for the pipe.
The pipe going out. So disposal for wastewater is a big issue out on the peninsula, and we have that asset. And that was another reason why the district really wanted to get control of this as soon as possible, so that those assets, which are really community assets, just don't deteriorate.
I was going to ask about the water. Are any of these water intensive? I mean, it doesn't sound like they are particularly, so it's not helping out the municipal water district.
No, we've been talking to the district about 30 million gallons a day or 60 or whatever it's sized for. That is such a massive amount of water that it's really hard to even imagine, even if you were exporting water, that you could even export that much water in 30 million gallons a day. And so we've been talking to the district about ways of effectively downsizing that infrastructure so it's more sustainable and can be maintained in a better way.
Would that limit potential customers for you folks out on those properties if you
only
had, let's say, a third of the amount of water?
No. I mean, even 10 million gallons a day is a huge amount. So it's one of those things that it actually would... It would be more sustainable from an infrastructure perspective, which would make it more likely for us to get customers, not less likely to get customers.
Yeah, I don't get to play with millions.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 is about as high as I get to go.
So, you know, from that perspective, we're starting the planning process to get that site up and running for more tenants so that it can be more of an export facility, but also just more of a jobs generator.
How much can you do with the Coastal Commission overlay without having specific use?
Well, it depends. I mean, we can lay some of that on the individual tenants that come in, but what we're just trying to do is just the industrial utility infrastructure spine in the property, and then lay it out so that it would be pre-permitted for those uses within a certain realm. And if they want to get outside that, then they would go to the Coastal Commission. But most of the use, because it's industrial use already, is already pre-permitted.
Could you see a scenario being played out with Arcadia and the Food Works being as successful as it is for those folks to come over coming over and expanding in your guys' facility? Because that seems like that's
a
pent-up demand in the area, but it's not...
That model is awesome. I mean, right. the model they have, the Food Works and the industrial park that Arcata has, and we are looking at that same sort of thing, but really more focused on the marine industrial segment. And so...
So it is still kind of apples and oranges?
It is, but the way, the pre-permitting of the area and making the spaces easy to move into, that's the model that's similar. So
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Wilson. Mike, the dredge infrastructure under the water is about as sexy as, I think, nematodes.
Oh, wait till you see the pictures.
Oh, yeah. There's not a whole heck of a lot there for people to jump up and down and get excited about. Mm-hmm. Now, the fireboat?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be about as much of a jumping up and down that most of us are going to get, because that's kind of fun,
right?
Kind of cool. Fire guys get to play around a little bit. We get to see water shooting around. Okay, that's fun. Dredging, I don't think, rises to that level. Levee work, I don't think, rises to that kind of level. Shoring up things.
Well, I don't know. The gearheads really love that equipment.
Yeah.
They dig it. I mean, we've had people come to our meetings just really excited about...
Now, the boat launchers,
the equipment.
Yeah. Know? So, what are you looking at long term for the Harbor District? Are any of these things ever going to be anything other than programmed? And every 3 years, you bring the maintenance guys in, and they take care of whatever it is, and you move on to the next.
Well, it's been every 10 years the way it's been happening, and we're talking about just the marinas and off-channel stuff, which is different than the yearly dredge that comes in, which is the big one from the Army Corps, which is 200,000 cubic yards a year. We're talking about 10 and 20,000 cubic yards a year of maintenance.
So, coming out to the sloughs and the North Bay? And
not really the sloughs. It's really the marinas and waterfronts.
So, just to the bridge, pretty much.
Yeah, and just really along the edges, right? So, to keep the boats from bumping bottom as they park along the edges and where they are, and where they come.
Makes it easier for them to dock that way.
Dock.
I found that to be the case.
Instead of park, obviously. Yeah. But anyways, so what we've been doing is doing this every 10 years, and with the city, and And it's a huge, huge cost. I mean, this is millions of dollars, and it's very hard to cash flow this. And all of that money goes out of the area because we pay for an outsider to do that. And so recently, in an agreement with PG&E in relationship to dredging the Fisherman's Channel, which they had obligated to Jimmy Smith years ago that they would do just the main Fisherman's Channel and dredge that as part of their pullout, you know, from redoing the power plant, they decided that they didn't really want to get into that, and so they made an agreement with us that they would pay the district $2 million, and that of that $2 million, we would buy this community a dredge, and we would dredge that space. And in that
$2 million for a dredge,
well, we're gonna,
seems kind of cheap. Is that quality dredge?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty going price.
A fire truck is about $1.5 million, so a dredge I would have thought would be a little bit more than that.
Yeah, well, we just put in a bid on one, so we'll see how it comes back. And I expect we'll probably pay about $1.5 million when it's all said and done.
There's your fire truck
for this dredge. You know, should we choose to select the one that the committee that's working on that is going for? And we've had a lot of great support from the city of Eureka on this, and the county, because home porting a dredge like that will mean that the expertise will be here. We'll be able to do it in small amounts so that we can cash flow it, and we can do a more programmatic environmental review of that, and we'll be producing the amount of sediment that we can actually manage every year versus having.
Well, and you don't have one big gulp.
And we don't have one big gulp. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Water reference.
Well, it's good. Okay. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it'll be, I think it's going to be, it's scary because it's a big piece of equipment. They are always notorious for they're moving a lot, so they're breaking a lot, and people
maintenance
have to fix
issues, yeah.
Maintenance issues and all that sort of stuff. But all those same things happen whether you get a contractor from out of the area or whether you do it yourself here. And we're truly hoping that this is going to be beneficial because we'll be able to pay for it here.
Do you have staff?
Yes,
we do,
and we'll probably have to hire a few more to do that. And again, the City of Eureka staff has also been very helpful in this because they have their marina that needs to get done as well. We're starting the beneficial reuse study for where dredge materials are going to go around the bay. Where can they be used?
These are the smaller amounts instead of the big dumping site.
Exactly. And so we're right in the middle of that. And so really, it's moving forward and. I'm hopeful. I mean, like I said, it's scary, a lot of moving parts, but it seems like the best path.
So when will you have a better idea about whether or not the bid for the dredge is accepted?
Well, the bid was accepted, okay. And it's in negotiation right now.
When will it be here?
Best case scenario, it'll be here in a few months. Best case scenario.
So this summer.
Yeah, but the problem is we're nowhere near. We're just starting our permitting for just the Fisherman's Channel. So we'll be getting this dredge. We'll be modifying it, making it, bringing it up to snuff for Humboldt Bay, getting all the parts and pieces we need for the accessorizing of that, because it's not just about a dredge. It's also about the other pieces too. And basically doing that program for the next year and a half while we get the permitting done, and then we'll be able to bring it into operation probably.
And that's about on the time cycle that you guys would want to have one.
Pretty close. Yeah, pretty close.
Sounds like a win.
Well, I hope so. That's the goal.
I want to see the champagne bottle broken across the bow, though.
We're working really hard on this for sure. We got a staff just running their tails off. It's hard to imagine that our staff of 14 is doing all these things I'm talking about. It's just,
and all the things that happen in the district.
Well, and then and then there's just the everyday, right? Running a marina and the boatyard, and it's amazing. They really, hats off to them.
Thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Mike Wilson. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.